You are now listening to the Online Course Podcast, the place where online course creators come to learn how to sell more of their online courses. Here's your host, Jono Petrohilos.
Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to the Course Creator Community Podcast. I'm super excited this week because we've got a very special guest from the other side of the world speaking about a topic that I quite love myself. So a little bit about this person. She's a mum. She's a partner. She's an aspiring minimalist. She's a vegan. And what we're going to talk about today, she's a Facebook and Instagram ads expert. So without further ado, let me introduce the founder and ad strategist of Asavi Marketing, Ms. Lauren Moretti. Lauren, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks. How are you?
I'm amazing. Lauren, I like to start my podcast off with a quote or mantra that inspires you or fires you up. Have you got one for us?
I do. It's for recovering perfectionist, which I am, it is take messy action. And I've really benefited from this because I used to let the perfectionism stop me from getting started at all. So just having that, I actually have it taped on my wall, just start, take messy action, just get it started and go from there.
Love it. I hold that one quite dear to my heart as well, because I was never a huge perfectionist, but like everyone, you know, if you're going to get something out there, you want to make it as good as possible, right? But I realized two things. I realized that it's never going to be perfect. Never. Like, I'll use myself as an example. I'm 35 years old. There's not one thing I'm perfect at. So if I'm waiting to get it perfect, it's just never going to go out there. So it's almost like, don't even bother. If you want it perfect, it's never going to be perfect. So you're never going to do it. So just make a call and say you're never going to do it if that's the case. And then on the flip side to it as well, or the other reason why I love that as well is I feel it's the best way. Well, actually, even further still, I feel it's the best way to learn. I feel like traditionally in school, we've been taught, hey, if you get a question wrong, you're bad. You got that question wrong. That's a bad thing. You know, go and study more and get better or whatever. But I feel in the real life, you're better off just trialing and failing, because you're not going to complete fail, but you're going to learn something and be like, you know what? Next time I do it, I'm going to do it like this. And you're just going to get ahead so much further. You agree with that too?
100%. Because my other favorite quote, actually, it's funny you brought that up, is that action creates clarity.
Yeah.
And that's really been amazing for me too, to keep in the forefront of my mind, is that just like, it, once you start, things will become clear and you'll know the next steps.
Love it. And it's like, cause I'm a bit of a salesperson as well. You know, I love sales and I hate it when someone says, you know what, just let me think about that and decide. And I'm sort of like, oh yeah, hey, I'm not too sure. And I'm like, hey, just make a call one way or the other, you know, either be like, hey, it's not for me. I'm not going to do it. Totally cool. Or be like, hey, I'm going to do it. I know it's not perfect, but this is going to springboard me in the right direction. I'm going to go from there. And I had another point I wanted to add on this as well. And here's the other thing as well. Like, I feel if you wait until it's perfect to try and get it out there, it's just going to take so much. Firstly, you'll never get it perfect, but it's going to take you so much longer to get close. And you're almost being selfish. Because instead of helping all these people along the way, let's just say you could get started now and start helping people, or you wait a year to start doing it because you want it to be perfect, you're almost being selfish, because in that year you could have helped all these people and you didn't because of your you know, your attitude. So good start.
You're not getting feedback in order to perfect it in real time, because you're not going to perfect it in isolation.
Yes, exactly. Love it. Well, hey, I've obviously been following you for a little while now, Lauren. I know what it is you do, but if someone's listening and they're like, FB and IG expert, what the hell is that? You know, tell us a little bit about what it is you do there, how your services work.
Yeah, I have two services, one kind of offer. I do done-for-you ad services for course and membership creators, mostly in health and wellness. That includes strategy, setup, copywriting, graphic creation, so the images, testing, maintaining, analyzing, reporting, all of that kind of stuff. Then I have an ads intensive for people who just kind of want to jumpstart and then take it over themselves. And I also, for people who want to do it completely by themselves but just need a little inspiration, I am launching a private Facebook group that has kind of inspiration on ad creative and copy as well.
Love that. Such a good business model there. I think that's a good lesson for anyone listening here as well. Can you see how Lauren's got like three sort of categories there? And I'm guessing they go up in price as well. You know, it's like, right, you want me to do it all. Hey, you're paying the big bucks, you know. Hey, if you just want some tips, you know, here's a lower ticket item, go on here and just get some on tips. Or if you want somewhere in the middle, you know, go and do a course. You know, I can teach you enough to get you started on your own. So I think that's an awesome model. And I'll put all Lauren's links in the show notes as well. So you can go to her website, follow her on Instagram, all that sort of stuff. So what I'd like to talk about today, Lauren, is let's say for the purpose of starting off anyway, let's just put Facebook and Instagram ads in the one category. If I say Facebook ads, just as the simplified version, let's assume we're saying Facebook and Instagram ads together. Now, my first question to you, Lauren, is what's the advantage? Now, don't get me wrong, I love them myself, but when I speak to a lot of people, and they're like, why would you pay money on ads? You can post on social media for free. Why would I spend money? What's your take on that? Why should we use ads?
Yeah. Well, my answer is always both. Like, don't stop organic, because people do give me that question too. It's like, why do this? Which one should I do? And I'm like, they're not mutually exclusive. You should definitely still be using organic when you are doing ads. In fact, when I launch people and they're not doing organic, it shows. Like, you need to be nurturing that audience that I'm bringing in, helping you bring in through ads. So I would say that organic is a great way to start and a great way to prove your offer. And then when you're ready to scale, you can bring in ads, but definitely still keep using organic. So they're not mutually exclusive at all.
Yes, love that. Okay, and then what's the benefits of the ads though? If someone's like, well, can't I just do organic and not pay any money to Facebook?
Yeah, well, if it's working that well for you, you can. I mean, I think I've yet to see somebody who wouldn't benefit from, like, if their offer is doing really well organically, then they're ready to scale. So the benefit is that ads are much farther reaching. You can target, you can bring in more people into your warm audience. So you're not hitting the same people up again and again, asking them for sales when maybe they've already seen your ads and everything, or seen your organic content.
You know, if you got 100 people in the group, you know, there's only so many times you can sell to those same 100 people, right? But saying that's a bad thing, still obviously sell to those 100 people. But as Lauren mentioned earlier, sell to those 100 people. But hey, let's get a new 100 people in this group as well, you know, and then a new 100 and then a new 100 and then a new 100. So, okay, that makes sense. It allows us to get in front of people that we wouldn't usually get in front of. What about the price though, Lauren? Are they expensive? You know, what's your take on that?
Yeah, well, what you have to do is be looking at it as a kind of full funnel strategy. And there are different types of campaigns that cost different amounts of money based on how big the ask is that you're asking for people. But the purpose of ads is to make you money, right? So if you're not making money, you're not doing it right. So you want to have strategy in place that is set up to reach your specific goal. And to be really clear on that goal is a good first step. Because it's not just that you would set the ads up and they would be this pipeline of money coming into you. You have to have a lot of strategy behind it. But yes, the purpose is definitely to make you back the money you spend.
Yes, love it. And I think that's an important point. So I work with mainly fitness professionals. And I just recently, just for a bit of fun last week, I was like, hey, who wants me to do your ads to run your boot camp? You know, one-time offer, here it is. And it was funny just having a discussion with some people. And the fitness industry is a bit different to the online course industry, right? Because if you're a personal trainer, you're running a boot camp, you've already got an offer that works. It's tested, you know, like anywhere in the world, there's people that are going to pay you $50 a week to do your boot camp, right? So there's an offer there. And most, even the minimum offer is usually about $300 for a personal trainer. It's $30 a week. You can train, you know, do a boot camp every day and you sign up for a 10-week challenge or whatever it is, right? And I'd have this discussion with some of the trainers. I'd be like, all right, you know, how much are you willing to spend to acquire a customer? And some people would be like, $30. And I'm like, why? Only $30? They're like, oh, I don't want to waste too much money. I don't want to spend too much money. But I'm like, hold on. So you're telling me you wouldn't spend $40 to make $300 back? Like, I'd do that all day. You know, you said to me, I'd spend 290, you know, to make 300, assuming I was also growing a list as well. So I think that's an important thing to know as well. It's not like you're just going to throw money on ads and it's going to magically come back. It's sort of like, all right, what's the strategy if I'm going to spend? And really, it's up to you, right? It's like you can spend, you know, $100 a week. You can spend $10,000 a week. It doesn't really matter. But it's like, okay, if I spend this amount, how can I make more than that amount back and also build my list as well? Is that the same way you look at it?
100%. Yeah. And just to add, especially with memberships where you're seeing like a recurring income month after month, you want to be keeping your lifetime value of your customer in mind so that the amount you can make from one person over the lifetime of your relationship. And so I think a lot of people leave that out. So for example, if your membership costs, you know, $12 a month, well, and your lead costs $15, you have to keep in mind that you're going to be getting more than $12 from that person. So all of that is good to keep in mind as you get started.
Such a good point, especially because that ties in quite well, because personal training is a membership model as well. Right. You pay X amount per week and yeah, you might sign up for one 12-week challenge, but ideally, the goal from the trainer is to get them signed up for the rest of their life, you know? And it was funny because same thing when I'd ask that question. All right, right. You know, how long does a client stay for? Because you need to know that. It's like, all right, well, if your average client stays for 9 months, here's what we can spend to acquire a client, you know? And if that person didn't have that number, it's almost impossible to run ads. That person's stay for years, some leave straight away. Okay, great, but what's the number? Because once you know what you're willing to spend, then you can tell if it's making money or not. So I love that you've brought that up there. So and then what about, which way can we go here? Okay, so let's say that's great. Now we've got a course creator. They're like, all right, you know, my course is worth $300, or you know, I've got a membership and it's $50 a month, and I know people stay for at least 5 months, so it's, you know, 5 or 6 months, so it's $300 there. We now know roughly what our thing is worth. Where do we go from there? We got a goal. Okay, I know that a client is worth $300. What do I do on Facebook? Do I put $5 a day? Do I put $300 a day? Where do we start there?
Yeah, so it depends on your specific goal. So if you are wanting to do kind of top of funnel, meaning you want to bring new people in, make people aware of your existence, and you want to do maybe engagement or video view ads, that's going to be much, much cheaper than if you're like, okay, I'm ready for the sale and I need to do a conversion ad, right? But I always recommend with definitely getting started by knowing your ideal client, knowing your messaging, exactly what you want to kind of put yourself in front of as your special viewpoint, I guess, and then knowing your goal, so your specific goal of ads, and knowing, okay, for these ads, I want to sell this specific course, because you can't just generally run ads as a business unless you're going for broad kind of brand awareness ads.
Unless you're Coca-Cola, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't recommend for us, like smaller businesses that are, you know, launching courses and memberships, right? Unless you're Coke. Yeah. And then I try to lead people to decide if they want to launch, if they want to do a launch model or go evergreen. So these are all the kinds of things you need to decide to get started. And then really important is creating your full funnel strategy. So that you know how you're bringing people in, what you're retargeting them with. So like, for example, if you have video views at the top of your funnel, you can retarget people who have watched X percent of the video, 50% of the video, 25% of the video, and you can show them ads that are leading them down to know you more, to maybe like you more, hopefully. And then at the bottom, you're going to finally ask for the sale. So that by the time they get from the top to the bottom, you're not spending as much on the ads asking for the sale, where if you send those to cold audience, you're not going to get anywhere and it's going to be quite expensive.
Let's take a quick break.
If you want tips and strategies on how to start, grow, and monetize your business online, check out the Digital Revolution podcast with Eli Adams. We interview digital experts from around the world that share their personal stories. They talk about what they're currently working on and where they see the future going. But most importantly, they share tactics in their specific area of expertise with the hope of helping you improve your digital presence online. You can listen to the Digital Revolution podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, or simply click on the link in the show notes below.
Gotcha. Okay, so many good bits of info there. Let me think which one to go first. All right, let's summarize with, okay, let's start with the different types of ads. So I'll just break down because some of the listeners may not be experienced with Facebook ads. So essentially what Lauren's saying is there's many different strategies you can use, but let's even just simplify it to a couple of them. You could either just have your offer and just post it straight as a Facebook ad and say, hey, here's my thing. Go and buy this thing here. Now, what Lauren's saying is you can do that by all means, but if these people don't know you, like you, trust you, why the hell are they going to buy your, why don't they buy Amy Porterfield's thing for $300 for probably a similar price? Why don't they buy Russell Brunson's thing for $97? You know, why are they going to buy yours if they can get that? It's a harder sale, right? But another strategy that Lauren's saying is, hey, maybe just put a video out there and show it to your ideal people. And then if anyone watches 50%, 75%, 100% of that video, they're obviously pretty interested in what it is you do. So let's just show those people the Facebook ad to ourselves in a nutshell. Is that the simplified version of it there?
Yep. Sometimes I put in a lead magnet in the middle there, but that's nice. A really good approach. Yeah.
Awesome. So then what Lauren's saying there is, you know, because even then it's still hard. Yeah, they've watched one of your videos. Doesn't mean they're going to give you $300, right? But maybe they've watched one of your videos. They've opted in to your free thing. They've watched your free thing. They like you a bit more. They're getting your emails now as well. Then they see a Facebook ad. Then they're going to be more likely to buy. And you're not spending hundreds or thousands of dollars to acquire a client because the funnel's smaller anyway. You're not showing it to every idiot on Facebook. You're just showing it to a smaller percentage. And those people will be more likely to buy. So I love that there. And I like the full funnel strategy. Can I share what I do, Lauren, just because I think it'll simplify sort of that as well and go back to what you've said earlier too, where my ad strategy is essentially, right, let's put an ad out. Let's see who, and I do actually sell cold, but because I get on the phone, I call those people and my audience is really dialed in as well. So it's like, I sell just to fitness trainers. So it's super easy just to anyone that's a fitness trainer. They need to do these courses to keep their accreditation. It's a bit easier for me. So people listening, you may not be able to do this. Maybe you can, maybe you can't, but it's just a bit easier for me. You know, I'll sell to that there. And I'll find that about 10 to 20% will purchase on the spot, you know, either from the landing page, from the email, after I call them. So I'll at least recoup my ad spend, usually make money as well. But those 80, 90% that don't buy, they go on my list. They go in my Facebook group. So I'm still building there as well. So I think that's important where, yes, you want to make money on the front end. Of course you do. But don't discount the back end, you know, like you said, if you're doing your email marketing, you're doing your organic stuff there, you can also build on the back end too. So I think that's important. Lauren, tell me a little bit, let's start the ideal client. So we've obviously, now let's assume the person listening to this, they know who their ideal client is. They've got a good idea in their head, but they don't know how to sort of plug that into a Facebook ad. Maybe they've never seen the back end. Can you give us some suggestions there? What are some different ways we can target our ideal people or retarget our ideal people?
Yeah, I'll give you a little secret. There is a tool, I'm sure you know, in Ads Manager called Audience Insights, and I find it to be super useful. So you can go in, you can, like, for example, if you know that your ideal client only wears Nike, then you can go in and type Nike and see what pages that people who like Nike also frequent, or groups that they belong to, or their demographics, for example. You might find that people who like Nike are mostly between the ages of 24 and 44. I don't know, I'm making that up. And you can get information from them, and it will give you other Facebook pages, other brands, other groups that they might be interested in, and you can kind of start your research off that way. And then when you go in to build the ad, in the ad set section, you can target demographic information. You can also target behaviors and interests that the person might like to do. You can target brands that they might like that you have discovered in your research. You can also target maybe if they have kids or what their job title might be, things like that.
Yes, it's quite intensive in that ads manager, isn't it? Like, it's almost, if you know your ideal client, it's almost hard not to find them on there, you know? Like, out of all the options they give you, you're going to find one, you know? Is it their job title? Is it their interest? Is it their sexual married or single, you know? Right. You've got all your different options there. Okay, cool. So that all makes sense there from the targeting. You mentioned the messaging. Now, my take on that is that's why I think it's important to master that organically first, you know, go and post on your Facebook group, in other people's Facebook groups, see what messaging resonates, right? And what gets a lot of comments. And then you can sort of use that for your ads. Is that what you mean by the messaging there?
Yeah. So basically, what do you want to be using to grab people's attention as they're scrolling? So, for example, I had a client who is a membership for tech, trying to get them into their first tech course. And we were trying all sorts of things like, hey, you want to build an app, that kind of messaging. And it wasn't working. So we moved on to a different type, which is like, do you want to be a founder? And that hit, that worked with people. So what you have to do is kind of play with that. And what I recommend is, if you don't quite know this, if you have a good idea, but you feel like you're ready for ads, run some engagement ads and test this. Run some engagement ads that's literally text on a blank background and see what works the best. Test them against each other, run them at the same time, and it'll pull information for you that will be useful as you start to spend more money in more expensive types of campaigns.
Yes, love it. I think that's a good point as well, where it's like, if you're ready for ads, you probably won't hit it straight away on the first go. You're going to increase your chances if you hire Lauren. And then the more stuff you do with Lauren, like if you do her smaller one, you get a few ideas. You do her course, you get a few more. You pay her the big bucks, you'll probably increase your chances even still. But it's actually with Lauren, it's probably 100% because she's done it a lot and she's focusing on the one thing there. It's like me in fitness trainers. I know the perfect ad that's going to work to run your boot camp if if this is what you do, right? So you're going to increase your chance there. But even still, like, you know, if she hasn't run something specifically for yours, it may not be perfect. You know, she may have to run a few different ads and see what works there. And I'm going to ask a follow-up question with that. What should you, how can I put this? Like, I wouldn't run ads if you were broke and you hadn't run them before, right? Different. So if you had a funnel, if you're like, I know this works, I've done it before, I'll put some money and make some back. But how much money would you say, hey, look, if you're going to run ads, make sure you've got X amount of dollars because you're going to have to blow through a few with tests and whatever till we come it back. How much are you, I guess, willing to lose or willing to gamble or willing to invest? What, can you give us a number there?
I always say around $500 per month for lead generation and about $1,000 per launch.
Okay.
Yeah. That's US. That's,
any indication.
Give or take. Yeah. But I think it also depends on your niche. Some niches are just naturally more expensive. Business is expensive, that kind of thing. And it depends on your specific goals and the ads you're going to run because of them. But yeah, I mean, I think that's a good ballpark.
Yeah. You know, if you haven't saved $500 up, it's probably not worth running ads yet, you know, because you may have to blow $400 to find out what works. And then, you know, then you got nothing left to actually get the leads, you know? So I think that's important there. Okay. Now, what about the actual ad, Lauren? Do you know any tips on like what we should put in the copy or what we should put in the headline or what sort of photos are working these days? What can you tell us there?
My amazing coach, one of her favorite sayings is clear over clever.
Yeah.
Straight to the point. Don't be clever. Like it's hard, especially copywriters, writers, people who fancy themselves good writers want to be clever, want to be funny, or even want to be fancy, I guess. And I see that a lot in ads. And if it's not immediately apparent, like split second while people are scrolling, it's not going to work. So super, super clear is the messaging, especially on the graphic itself, I find that works. And then the headline is just, for me, what works best is, you know, maybe course in brackets and then what the course is. Not even the name of the course, but like what kind of course it is, what it does for you kind of thing. And then as far as copy, like short to medium form copy, I like a lot. And a lot of what are the benefits that you're going to reap from this course are really good. Like bullet points, I think work really well.
Yeah, they suck me in all the time.
If it's too long, especially with a good emoji.
If it's like if it's too long, I don't even read it, you know. But if it's sort of short, I'll read the first paragraph. Yeah, I'll read a bit more. I'll read the bullet points. Yeah, I want more leads and more money and whatever. Yeah, all right, I'm going to put my details in here. So I love that. And
I will say to that is if you have people at the bottom of your funnel, meaning they're super warm, they've been with you for a while, maybe you know specifically that the specific ad set that you're targeting has been with you for quite a while, they might need that nurturing. They might need that longer form copy and that kind of selling, that wooing, you know. So that's when I might go toward longer copy.
Yes, no, agree 100%. And okay, let's spend a minute on the photo. So should that photo have text on it? Should it just be a plain photo? Is it depend on the situation? What can, and as a course creator, do we, you know, show them a photo of someone on the computer doing the course? Do we show them a screenshot of our outline? Do we show them like what's actually in the course, the benefit? What tips can you give us there with the photo?
For me, Facebook ads in general, but specifically the creative, is all about testing. So for example, I have a client who is great on video and we put her video ads up and I designed these fancy images as well. And the images didn't even get looked at. Like her video just took over and that's wonderful. I just want something to work, right? Yeah. And then I have another client who I like watched her intro video and I was like, maybe we won't do video. And so it just depends, you know. Video does convert really well for me. But then as far as like graphic, no graphic, I think it's 100% about testing. And there's no right or wrong. There's no like best practice. Their best practice is that you know how to set up testing.
Gotcha. Because it's like, yeah, it's like even Lauren's an absolute expert at this. You could show her two photos and she might say, yeah, that photo is going to work. But then when you throw it on Facebook, maybe it won't because she's not your ideal person. You know, she can give some principles on that, but it's just got to work. So love that. So it's all right. Let's test some stuff, you know. All right. Let's, I've got my copy. I've got my headline. Okay. Let me try three different photos and see what works best. Or let me try one photo and one video. And I'm just simplifying here. I know you'd ideally we'd try more, but just for the listeners, simplified version, let's just try different things and see what works. And if someone tells you, hey, video is the only thing that works, or hey, photo is the only thing that works, they probably don't know what they're talking about. And they're just trying to tell you something, right?
Yeah.
Or sell you something.
Exactly.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, hey, Lauren, there's a few questions that I always like to finish up with. The first one revolves around mentors. Now, you're obviously a mentor for plenty of people out there that want to get better at their ads, sell more of their online courses. I'm curious to hear who your mentors have been. And if you can answer this in a few different ways, a mentor that you've paid money to and done their course or program or whatever, a mentor that you haven't paid money to, but you follow on social media or you know, you watch their YouTube videos, and then a book or two that you recommend every course creator who wants to sell more courses should read.
Okay. So paid. Okay. So I have been following and joined the group of Denise Duffield Thomas, who does Money Mindset, and she's fantastic. I love her. And so I highly recommend her stuff. She has a couple books too. Get Rich Lucky Bitch is one of them. Yeah. And let's see. I'm trying to think of somebody who I haven't paid that I just like to follow because I generally invest in people that I really like. Oh, Rick Mulready is good for learning. Rick Mulready?
Oh, yes. Yep. Yeah.
So he has a podcast, The Art of Online Business. It used to be The Art of Paid Traffic,
yeah.
I think. So it's like he used to be a Facebook ads manager. So right up my line. And then books. I have two that I read recently, actually, that I love. One is, I'm sure everyone says this, Atomic Habits. That's good one.
It's a popular one, yeah. James Clear, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then the other one is, I just finished, called Finish by John Acuff. That's really good. He wrote a book called Start that's just like, just get started. And then I haven't read that one, but I listened to the...
that's awesome. Just want to get to the end, right?
Well, the thing is, he was like, I was a little bit wrong. I think it's not only about starting, it's also about finishing. So he has a funny writing style and it's a quick read. And I think really, really useful about getting perfectionism out of the way. So again, perfectionism.
It sounds like those two would work together because it's like, yeah, you need super something well to get the ball rolling, you know, let me get it started, you know, like a great started. Oh man, now I got all these things going. How do I finish these? Now I read this book here. And then, okay, what habits can I put in place so that I can actually start and finish? So I think read those three books and you got the trifecta, right?
Yeah, and you're done.
Awesome. All right, cool. Well, Lauren, if I'm sure there's going to be a heap of people watching this, listening to this, that are like, all right, this woman is awesome. How can I follow her more? I want to, you know, invest in some of her programs. What's the best? Do we follow you on Instagram? Do we go to your website? What's the best?
I'll give you both and you can decide. My website is asavimarketing.com, asavimarketing.com. And my Instagram is just @asavi.marketing. So
I'll put both of them in the show notes so people can follow them. Lauren, that's pretty much all I wanted to get through for today. Is there anything I should have asked you but didn't, or anything I forgot to ask, or anything you want to finish us off with?
I think you covered it well.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, Lauren.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with your friends. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Check out the show notes for more free resources on how to sell more of your online courses.